Okay, I've got my recording started. I hope you have. Hello, everybody. Dwayne's getting his stuff together for us for another really exciting evening.
Excellent. I'd like to extend my appreciation to all of the participants who have taken time off from their busy schedules and their own unique contributions and group work. I'd also like to give my appreciation to the Moya University for allowing us to use this forum to try something new and somewhat experimental. And of course, we appreciate, BL, your contribution and Rose's. So good. Before we launch into this, I'd like to take a few minutes and just review a few new happenings that are changing, at least from my point of view, the work that we're doing at this site considerably, and that is the formation of a Facebook site where interested students can go and ask questions and share experiences and really create a bridge between one presentation and the next month, the following one. Continuity is very important in the study and in the recognition of this important work, but often it's not easy to achieve. And I have to say that this Facebook page has been really enlivened and so much heart energy and additional sensitivity beyond the words themselves that have given it a real occult warmth, a word I use for lack of a better one. And I would like to see that continued because it really, any type of group work is maybe initially sponsored by one or two or three people, but it does take on a life of its own. And this life expresses the group will, the group heart, and the group mind. And all these symbols, with all of us to the degree that we feel comfortable that are focusing on them, are building highways, bridges between each other, the ashram, and the master. And the beginnings are always humble, but we have the strength of our group brothers and sisters to really make this go forward. So I just wanted to share that because I have been really sort of blown away with the results. And once again, if things are not blowing you away, maybe you're too much lost in the technicalities and the minutiae. And I don't criticize the lower mind because it's an incredible tool that we need. But as we're going to explore today a little further into the presentation, what are the universal Raja yoga techniques for using the mind and then knowing how to not bypass, but reverse the active picture-making faculty of the lower mind into what DK calls sort of the active passive mind that can draw down inspiration, intuition in these more abstract levels. So I just want to thank the group for that because they have been instrumental in doing something that I could never do on my own. Okay, excellent. So there's a few additional thoughts that I want to review before we move forward. And that is, what is happening? What is the hierarchy or the masters or those who reside on soul levels? What is it that they're trying to do with humanity? And it's way beyond our capacity to do anything other than lightly touch on a few key subjects. But if you follow down some of these things I've listed under the uniformity of approach, we can see that humanity has gone to the mountain one by one and been initiated, sort of a stereotypical mystical path, and it has worked, and it's a beautiful path. But now the masters want to initiate groups of people, and to do that, they have to have some type of uniformity of approach. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all going to have the same meditation format or technique, or that we're going to follow the exact path of our brothers and sisters. But this uniformity of approach is really understood when you realize that a group of people visualizing a hierarchical or soul symbol, and I'm not something that somebody created in their art studio, and that's not to say that can't be very potent, but something that the masters have given us to meditate on and to visualize. So this idea of using a similar symbol to unify the group is very powerful. And we'll skip through some of that as we go along, the five-pointed star perhaps being the most powerful. It's used by the White Brotherhood to signify this is a sacred space, with the disciple standing with feet apart, hands up towards the heavens with the head. You have those 5 points that symbolize the white magician bringing down these higher forces and grounding them onto the material plane. And then you have the full moon approaches. You have the solstices. And then you have numerous astrological alignments in which many people meditating at the same time can draw down and ground those positive aspects, and with their goodwill and right human relations, they can help negate the negative aspects. Okay, so let's move to this first image. And this was posted on the Facebook, but you can see the potency of the five-pointed star seen here, surrounded by the 7 rays as a rainbow. And if you look in the center, you'll see that point of abstraction around which all the points of the five-pointed star actually rotate. And when we get into the astrological section today, we're going to see how DK has actually requested his students in esoteric astrology to visualize certain symbols, certain five-pointed star symbols in rapid revolution. That's the key phrase he actually uses. So let's move along. This is one of my favorite images of triangles. We need to break the restrictions of the idea that a triangle is simply 3 points that are in an equilateral triangle. That is where the student understands the basis and the laws that sort of instruct the use of a triangle. But when you get into the actual experience of triangles interfacing with other triangles, they create a lattice work, or what DK calls an undulating, palpitating grid that is moving all the time. And we're just going to touch lightly on a few things we discussed last week as we move into this. But this is one of the most powerful quotes as we go into our astrological section about triangles and rapid movement. BL, could you read that for us?
I wonder if you can grasp, at least partially and symbolically, the fact that these triangles must not be thought of as placed static and eternally the same, or even as three-dimensional. They must be regarded as in rapid movement, revolving eternally in space and ceaselessly moving onward, and as of fourth and fifth dimensional extension. There is no way of depicting them or of bringing them visually to your attention, for only the inner eye of vision can imagine their progression, position, or appearance. Therefore, the entire cosmic web and solar system is an intricate, constantly moving, interwoven series of triangles, wherein each point of a triangle emanates three lines or streams of energy, nine in all. It is likewise responsive to and receptive of the energies, likewise triple in nature, which lie within its periphery or sphere of influence and vibratory activity.
I think it was in our last session where I brought up a picture of the Earth being tessellated with triangles, that the planetary etheric grid is evolving from a series of squares into a series of triangles. Now, when you think of a triangle, think of a triangle that faces a sphere, and you begin to get an idea that even though we can say something that has parallel lines, if you look at it in its totality, it will be made up of some type of sphere, and each sphere has two vortices, an inlet and an outlet. So think of the triangles as being really organic and subject to the movement of all types of forces simultaneously, just as the Tibetan has described here. Now, everyone will remember this one that we used last, a couple of presentations back, and it really got a lot of people excited and was extremely helpful to understand how triangles can connect with other triangles on other levels. And when you look at this green, sort of green series of triangles with the red rotating, you can see that they're ever changing. And remember that a triangle is made up of three different points, and they're all on different levels. And as they mature and grow, the triangle has to shift to accommodate a new level of energy or a new rings past knot or a new identity. So when you look at this, you begin to see how something that's apparently rigid, a triangle with three points, can become fluid. And I'm not sure if it's on this particular rendition of this green series of triangles, but the one we showed you was actually, it would speed up and speed up and speed up. And then eventually it would become, you could not really distinguish exactly where the triangles were, because it had now, it was traveling at such a high rate of speed, it became just more vertical. But still the triangles did exist. So imagine a sphere where a triangle can pass down through the throat of the sphere, but then if there's a second sphere, it can pass down through the throat of that sphere. And that's what connects them all together into one uniform whole, yet as they say in physics, different energies of different potencies nesting one within the other. Keyword. Okay, so any questions up to this point?
Okay, I don't see any questions, but Orest says the triangle in motion creating the vortex.
Yes, exactly. The first esoteric meditation DK gives, he says, this triangle is more in the nature of a funnel. Okay, so let's move to this one, which is not animated. Okay, now what you see here is very similar to the one that you just saw. Three points where you have a triangle. Only the first meditation that we're going to do today is sort of a recapitulation of what we've done in other presentations, but we're going to bring it to your attention as electricity. In other words, you are actually looking at three different field lines that are passing through the striated electrical and magnetic field lines. And you can see how a triangle affects everything around it. And this is not the presentation to go into it too extensively, but DK says you cannot get into the abstract mind and the intuition until you striate your mental body. And when you understand how easily the astral body that's not coordinated can create this phantasmagoria, again, to quote the Tibetan, of energies coursing and swirling, the lower mind is very much like that too. But when it begins to striate its electric fields, and you see this in basic 101 study of electricity, that the electrons that you're trying to move from one place to another in a conduit, in electricity, these electrons have to be polarized and energized so that they all go in a straight line. And that's what means transferring energy or electricity from one place to another. So anyway, this is three electrical fields moving through a lesser field, but also energizing it and orientating. You'll see how it changes the field lines as it moves. And it's also a symbol of the triad, whether it's the personality of the triad, the soul triad, the upper monadic triad. It's all based on the electrical theory of the greater encompassing, ensouling the lesser. So take a deep breath, relax, put yourself in a reflective place, and just take this in. Okay, excellent. Are there any comments or anything anybody would like to share?
I don't see anything at this time.
If you look closely.
Hold it, we got a hand. Francis, let me. There you go, should be able to talk now. Oh. It isn't letting me unmute him, Francis.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, just a very light comment. I was thinking, I was enjoying, really enjoying the spiral spherical ride. Don't have to go to my local carnival. This is what was much better.
Excellent. If you look closely, you'll see a point of blue in the very center. To me, that could easily symbolize the great second ray of love wisdom that characterizes our solar system. And yet from that one life, that one heart, comes the Trinity. And the Trinity galvanizes and moves all the lesser rays. You have four rays that sort of drive everything forward, and then the four minor rays that sort of work out their will. It's all done through the will of some great entity and acted out through Devic and angelic substance. So it's sort of interesting because on a clairvoyant level, this is more what we are than many of the wonderful symbols that are given in the New Age. It's an attempt to see each person, each being, each principle as electrical in nature. And electricity is a very, very difficult type of concept to really pin down. So I felt very privileged to stumble across this and to be able to share it. Remember, the Tibetan has said that the greatest and most ancient of all the esoteric sciences is astrology. But he also says that the science of electricity is also the greatest science that will affect humanity's future development. So one of the purposes of this work is to combine the most ancient sciences, such as astrology, with some of the more modern ones, which are like quantum physics and cosmology and electricity in its different forms. Okay, if there aren't any questions, we'll move to the
yes. Veronica asks, are all three from the same vibration?
Well, that's a very good question. And according to this, one might say yes, but in reality, any triangle that's created by law has to have different potencies, because the arms or the extended angles of every triangle, of which there's three, are positioned on a different level. In other words, one can be on the physical etheric, another point of that the triangle can be on the astral, the third point can be on the mental, that's like on a human, the human side. Cosmologically, on a very large level, you can take like the triangle between the Great Bear, Ray 1, Sirius, Ray 2, and the Pleiades, Ray 3. Same thing, only on a high level and a lesser level. So there has to be distinguishing differentiations. Very good question. Any additional questions?
Yes, a couple of more. Risa says, yes, that blue. I felt love within this movement. Love, excellent. Underline it.
Excellent. And you bring, Risa, not only a lot of wisdom, but you bring a lot of love. And I really appreciate your contribution in your mini posts. Thank you.
And then Diana says, I imagined it was the funnels.
The funnels, absolutely. These are electrical vortices or funnels.
And Lisa says, aren't we beautiful?
Aren't we beautiful? I love it.
And that's...
Strip away the mask and you find that behind each person is an exquisite, radiant, egoic lotus with such beauty that it disarms the personality. Okay, now we're going to move into a little bit of astrology. And we started on that in several other presentations, but we never were able to follow it through because there's so much material there. But at the same time, we want to take these ideas and these images and sort of meditate on them. We don't want to move too quickly. And any of these images can be found, as everyone knows, on the University of the Seven Rays, the Moya School's Makara site. And you can take any of these images if they call to you, if you feel a certain vibrational field moving within you, and take them and just put them on a loop. And you can go into a nice meditation for 10, 15, 20 minutes as it just keeps looping around. Okay. Rose, would you like to read this?
Upon the golden triangle, the cosmic Christ appeared. Gemini is, therefore, one of the most important of the 12 signs, and its influence lies behind every one of them, a fact but little realized as yet by astrologers. This will be more fully understood when the triangle of Gemini and two opposing signs is studied. Because of the ray of love wisdom, the second ray, pours through Gemini, it becomes apparent how true is the occult teaching that love underlies the entire universe. God is love, we are assured, and this statement is both an exoteric and an esoteric truth. This underlying love of deity reaches our solar system primarily through Gemini, which forms with the constellation of the Great Bear and the Pleiades a cosmic triangle. This is the triangle of the cosmic Christ and is the esoteric symbol lying behind the cosmic cross. There is ever the eternal triangle to be found behind the fourfold phenomenal appearance. Speaking symbolically and in the words of the old commentary, upon the golden triangle, the cosmic Christ appeared.
If you look carefully at this triangle, you'll see that even though it has three or four rigid points, in the center of it is a rotating swastika. And there's a curious relationship between the swastika and different types of triangles that we are going to not explore today. But here you have that key triangle that DK just mentioned between the Great Bear, the Pleiades, and Gemini. At the center of this triangle, the Christ took his stand. From that point, his Aquarian work began and will continue for 2,500 years. He will be known as the point within the triangle, the dispenser of the water of life, the nourisher of the little ones. And you have blue, the second ray, shooting off in three different directions. And you have the fourth ray of Budai, symbolized by the golden yellow, and of course you have the red symbolizing the first ray. It is a beautiful symbol to take into your meditations, and at some point I'd like to see it rotating and palpitating like some of the other images we've been able to present. Are there any comments or anything anybody would like to share?
And Veronica says, I wonder what combination of vibrations would create a lotus.
Yes, a lotus. This may surprise many of our viewers, but the petals of the egoic lotus, the petals of any of the centers going up the spine, either etherically or on higher levels, these petals are not, what they are is their energy rotating quickly around a vortex that gives, to quote the Tibetan master Jwal Kul, the appearance of petals. Now I want you to look at the center where the dot is in this golden triangle. If you look carefully, you'll see that it's a swastika rotating at a very high speed, and it has the appearance of petals. And if we slowed it down, it could actually turn into some geometric shape. That's sort of a little difficult to grasp, that one can be transmutated into the other when energy is applied from a higher level, and then it can do just the opposite. It can become solidified. The rotating appendages can become actual triangles. So give that some thought. Any additional questions?
Yes. Francis, please go ahead.
Can you hear me? Just a question. Yeah. The fourth point on this symbol, just wondering if that would be Sirius, since it's a disseminator of the second, fourth rays in that line.
And the work of Sterling, what is his name on triangles? He's done
Hunter. Hunter.
Yes, exactly. Sterling Hunter. If you have a chance to Google him, he's done incredible work with triangles. There are so many connections that we're really not aware of. And I recall the Tibetan saying in esoteric astrology, I'm only going to give you the relevant ones that I think you can understand. And whenever he says something like that, you go, wow. You know, okay, good. Any additional questions on that image?
Yes. Vera, let me... Oops.
Yes? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Just to previous speaker, that, yeah, to me, I was looking at this triangle and I thought, oh, the Great Bear, first ray, Pleiades, third ray, but the Christ itself is standing for that Sirius, I think. So that was my sort of musing on it.
Yes, good. I like that.
Okay.
Okay, excellent. Is there somebody in the group that would like to read this next quote by the Tibetan?
Lisa says the petals to geometry, yes, like the aperture of a camera.
Yes, excellent. Letting in small amounts of light, or as the ring pass knot is expanded, letting in lots of light.
I don't see any hands up to read, but oh, here we go.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
The 12 zodiacal potencies. The 12 opposites must become the blended six. Gemini. This sign is sometimes called the constellation of the resolution of duality into a fluid synthesis. Governing as it does all the pairs of opposites in the zodiac, it preserves the magnetic interplay between them, keeping them fluid in their relations, in order eventually to facilitate their transmutation into unity, for the two must finally become the one. It should be remembered that, from the angle of the final development of the 12 zodiacal potencies, the 12 opposites must become the blended six. And this is brought about by the fusion in consciousness of the polar opposites. Pause and consider this phrasing. The opposites eternally remain from the point of view of human reason, but to the initiate whose intuition is functioning, they constitute but six great potencies, because he has achieved the freedom of the two, as it is sometimes called. For instance, the Leo subject who has an initiated consciousness preserves the individuality developed in Leo, as well as the universality of Aquarius. He can function, if he so chooses, as a fully self-identified individual, yet possesses simultaneously a fully awakened universal awareness. The same thing can be said of balanced activity and consequent fusion in all the signs. This analysis constitutes in itself an interesting and far-reaching field of speculation.
Excellent. Here we have an image. We're sort of showing the zodiacal signs and the rays that work through them, and at a glance you can see the six pairs: Aries, Libra, Taurus, Scorpio, Gemini, Sagittarius, and on right around the whole wheel. And the idea of six signs combining two from an original 12, to me, I find fascinating. And it's very, very powerful, this idea, to quote the Tibetan, a fluid synthesis. That is really a very elegant descriptive word of not something that's rigid, not something that's stationary, but something that is ever moving forward. There's a progression. It's like a fractal or a hologram. And look at your own lives and see the polarity between your different rays of your personality, the people in your family, your spouses and partners, and see how the law of polarity and synthesis is attempting to work out all the time, and that two opposing forces are really the flip side of a later fusion in which they both reside with perfect grace and unity. So tension, occultly understood, is creative. It creates friction in the personality, often in the early stages, but in the later stages, it causes fusion. The Tibetan has a formula. It's called tension, fusion, emergence. No, I've forgotten, but it's, you bring two or more forces together and they eventually, through the friction, they emerge. Okay, excellent. So now we're going to move into another quote by the Tibetan. Rose, would you like to do that one? And then we're going to do an animation. We're still sort of talking about Gemini.
This therefore brings into a close relation four great constellations, each of which has a particular relation to the dualities with which man has a definite evolutionary concern. These are expressed in a unique manner for humanity through Aries, Gemini, Virgo, and Scorpio, and the following diagram is descriptive of the nature of that relation. When visualizing these diagrams, the symbol should be seen in rapid revolution.
Here we see our five-pointed star. Now, in this case, the point is not up, the point is down, sort of indicating all these higher constellations are pouring their force, their redemptive light and love and power down to the earth to lift it. So what we're going to see next, and we did show this in one of the earlier presentations, but I wanted to show it again because it sort of, in my opinion, demands recognition that the Tibetan has outlined these brilliant theories and principles and laws that we've studied for years, perhaps our whole entire lives. But there are places where he says, we've got to let the lower mind go and see these images abstractly. So the next one, get in a position of meditation and just breathe into this and just sort of see this five-pointed star as those four constellations in the earth in rapid revolution. Okay, excellent. I hope everybody saw that. We had a little difficulty technically. Did everybody see a five-pointed star twirling on their screen?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Did you see it, BL?
I did.
Go ahead.
Risa wants to know, was it crisis polarization sweep that you were talking about a minute ago when you were talking about
crisis, tension, emergence, and I think I may have said it incorrectly, but that's the correct order. Tension leads to crises, and that's two or more forces that are incompatible, and then when they're finally unified or brought together, like we just read with the 12 signs of the zodiac fusing into six, you have emergence. Tension, crises, emergence. It's a formula the Tibetan gives. Okay, excellent. So I get very inspired and I feel a lot of energy when I see some of these symbols put into motion. Now that five-pointed star would have to be done up a little differently to represent those four constellations in the earth. The earth would be green and the constellations, Gemini would be second, blue, and on and on. And if it were done correctly with a five-pointed star, it would be very, very powerful as a meditative tool. But we're seeing the early formation of that, taking what the Tibetan says and sort of following it to the next level. Okay. BL, would you like to read this next one?
Sure. Near and dear to my heart, astrologers developing fourth dimensional consciousness. The whole problem of the three decans and their rulers in each sign of the zodiac must remain a difficult and abstruse problem until such time as astrologers have developed a four-dimensional consciousness and know the true meaning of the biblical phrase, the wheel turning upon itself. In reality, the wheel does not turn like a wheel in a car, either forward or the reverse. It turns every way and both ways simultaneously. This fact is, as yet, an impossible one for the human consciousness to grasp. The complexity involved in the progress through the decans, conditioning also the rulers, is to be found to be based upon this multiple action of the wheel. The wheel, therefore, moves not only clockwise, but both ways at once, and also at right angles to itself.
Excellent. Thank you, BL. It's very clear to me that what Ezekiel saw and many of the prophets and what the Tibetan is attempting to express here is the vortex, because the vortex can move in several directions at the same time and still be one complete organism. And we're going to show an animation after a few more quotes of exactly how that would look visually. Very, very powerful. Are there any questions or comments on that? I find the idea of asking the astrologers to develop fourth dimensional consciousness is incredible. And I'm not an astrologer, but I do recall the Tibetan saying, to really be a good astrologer and to know where somebody else is on the path so that you can help them, it's not just doing the mathematical calculations. You have to sort of assess what initiation they're going through. And yes, that may be supported in the chart, but you also have to have an awakened intuition, because the intuition, you can have two people born at exactly the same moment, the same time, and be totally different because they're on different levels and one has not progressed as far as the other. So this fourth dimensional consciousness, you know, DK says we're moving up towards 2025, and there's going to be a new series of teachings. But what are those teachings going to look like? Are they going to be totally different than what we've been taught and experienced and studied? Much like DKs are different than HPBs, but they do connect. There is continuity. And is there potentially going to be a new way to look at Blavatsky's works and the works of DK through modern audio-visual techniques that make some of these abstruse and complex ideas, principles, and laws like more tangible? And DK says that the second-ray disciple uses the visualization capacity in a new way. And if they can visualize something, they can duplicate it on the high mental plane, because all the symbols we're presenting here, or the majority of the symbols most people see, they're physical. But if you can have one that's moving, that's organic, it will inspire you to recreate it in your imagination, and that is where you take off. That's where you penetrate the higher mind, the heart, and into the intuition. So that's why I recommend take some of these images that you feel are perfect for you and take them into your own meditation. Develop your own little formula. Okay, any questions or sharing on that quote?
Yes, Orest.
Hello.
Go ahead, please. There you go.
Dan Winter is a student, or was a student, of Buckminster Fuller. And Buckminster Fuller, as you know, did the work on the geodesic domes and the transformation of platonic solids through modulation and through having sort of flexible parts at the nodal points. And in some of Dan's work, he demonstrates the collapse of these linear structures with movable points at the nodal points into the different dimensions. And I found that a fascinating way of seeing the transformation take place. And my understanding is there are certain crystals, and depending on the tension upon the crystal, it then motivates a movement in the lattices of the crystal. The crystal then will allow a particular manifestation of energy to come out. And that may be piezoelectric energy, it may be light, it may be something else. So I'm just mentioning that because that sort of fits into this context.
Excellent. Well, I think from our study of crystals, we can begin to understand how the human constitution, when to go back to what I was saying earlier, let's just take the mental field as an example. When you are able to striate the mental field, you are beginning to create a crystal on the inner planes. And a crystal is valuable for many, many things, but like in technology, it's valuable because it allows energy to pass through it effortlessly, and it also can generate electricity. So what you're saying is entirely correct, and this Dan Winters is so far ahead of his time. He's like a modern day Tesla, in my opinion. It just like Buckminster Fuller was a modern day Tesla discipleship seventh ray sort of soul. And this idea of if you take one of Buckminster Fuller's geodesic domes, and this is a very simple analogy, and you place it in an area where there's weather, very high weather conditions, let's say like high winds, there's no way to flip over a half sphere because air just goes over it because of its strength. It's nature's way of exponentially creating something that is incredibly simple but incredibly strong. You see it in nature in so many different ways. And Buckminster Fuller saw into the inner planes, and he created these marvelous geometric platonic forms that have really revolutionized so many different areas, whether it's architecture or just so many different things. So thank you, Oris. That's fantastic comment. I appreciate it. Any additional comments?
There are, and he adds, we are composed of liquid crystals.
Yes, absolutely. The study of water has demonstrated that it's not some passive thing, that it actually has an identity. It has memory. And it can be programmed, and it's a living force of nature that we need to sort of develop a symbiotic relationship with, rather than just thinking it's something external, something outside of us, something we drink, something we wash our hands with. No, it's the blood life on one level of the planet and of our own bodies, which are 90% water. Excellent. Any other comments?
Yes, there's several more. Joe says, I just acquired a Merkaba stone. I think this writing describes what that combo of two four-sided triangles. Any comments?
Yes, the Merkaba. We'll be studying the tetrahedron, the fused, the two pyramids fused together that create what is called the upper and lower triad. That we're going to give a whole presentation on that. And yes, I agree with what he's saying. If he's talking about the Merkaba.
She, but yeah.
I'm sorry, she.
Yeah. And then Risa says, it is the ability to recognize intuitively, getting back to this astrological statement here, it is the ability to recognize intuitively all the different levels the person is working on. Seeing the person working within the seven planes on the constitution of man.
Excellent. That's a wonderful statement. One of the things, things that the Tibetan presented that's not well known is that he actually started a small pilot group to develop psychic sensitivity. And I have to be careful here because he's not talking about astral sensitivity on the lower subplanes. He's talking about a very advanced higher one that can only be experienced on the first and second subplanes of the astral and the buddhic. And that this psychic field, this psychic development will be a part of these new Aquarian teachings that he deliberately steered his students away from because he was trying to take them from the astral plane up to the mental plane. And to this particular student in the Dina books that he was inviting into his group that was going to study psychic phenomenon, he said this, and this is, to me, very powerful. He said, in previous lifetimes, you developed a very high level of psychic sensitivity, but it wasn't high enough. And this lifetime, the soul gave you a lot of fifth ray and a lot of 1357 masculine ray line energies so that it could help lift you up onto higher mental levels so that now that I'm inviting you and you've done that, you've demonstrated you're mentally focused, you're a server and you're on a soul level, now we're going to go back and I'm going to teach you these new psychic powers that are coming in the age of Aquarius, but they have to be, this training has to be done gradually because it can be easily misused.
And then Risa also asks, what do you mean by the striated mind or the striated mental field?
Well, to go back to electricity 101, if you have a piece of material you want electricity to go through, you have to create a pathway that has no resistance. And if you try to pass electricity through wood, it doesn't go through very well because the atomic structure of wood dissipates it. It causes it to go in all kinds of different directions. If you pass electricity through silver or gold or platinum, it passes through with very little resistance because the medium electricity is passing through is conducive to what they call entrainments, what they call entrainment in electricity. It's also used in neuroscience, but in electricity, the study of electricity, entrainment is when you have many striated lines of electricity or force traveling parallel to each other with no resistance, like little marching army people. So you need to striate your mental field to be able to receive impressions from the higher mind, the intuition, and the will of the Father. And how do you do that? Well, there are specialized techniques and meditations, and I wouldn't want to share any of them right here on this presentation, but I would say doing service, doing meditation and prayer, and study all contribute to that striation. And why is that? Because when you do any one of those three or any combination of those together, you are taking your attention off, to quote the Tibetan, the little self, and you're putting it on the greater good of humanity. But yes, Risa, there are specialized techniques that will be shared as time goes by for disciples who have reached that level where they're ready to work psychically through the guidance of the heart and the higher mind. Okay, any additional comments?
Well, yes, you just answered her question on how does one striate the mental field. And then Arrest described it as a lattice.
Yes, a lattice. There are many different types of lattices, and this is why we're going to study the platonic solids and the polyhedra, because there's many, many combinations, and they can nest one within the other. And each ray, each plane is actually characterized by a certain geometric form. Okay, excellent. Let's move to the next quote. If we could have somebody read that. Rose volunteers.
The wheel of life turns within the wheel of outer form. The matter of Fohat circleth, and its fire hardeneth all the forms. The wheel that is not glimpsed moveth in rapid revolution within the slower outer case, till it weareth out the form. The 49 fires burn at the inner center. The 35 circulating fiery vortices extend along the circle of the periphery. Between the two patheth in ordered sequence the various colored flames. The great triangles in their just arrangement hold hid the secret of the wheel of life. The cosmic fire radiates as directed from the second sphere, controlled by the ruler of the merging ray. And this is from Treatise on Cosmic Fire 32, stanza 11.
The Tibetan has indicated that the higher teachings that he has given can be found in the old commentary and in the stanzas of Dien. And this is slightly out of context, but on another level, it's not, because what you see here in this one quote, you see turning wheels, fiery vortices, and great triangles. And even though you'd have to be a third degree initiate to fully comprehend everything that's being shared here, all of us can understand from these various presentations the idea of wheels, spheres, vortices, triangles, and how they all sort of come together into one composite whole. Okay, let's go to the next quote. BL, are you up for this, or any other volunteers?
I can do it. Okay. 10 dimensions of wheels all turning, spheres within spheres. Wow, I'm imagining a gyroscope here, but...
Oh, excellent.
The old commentary expresses this obscure truth as follows. The one wheel turns. One turn alone is made. And every sphere and suns of all degrees follow its course. The night of time is lost in it, and kalpas measure less than seconds in the little day of man. Within the wheel, forming that wheel, are all the lesser wheels from the first to the tenth dimension. These in their cyclic turn hold in their spheres of force other and lesser wheels, yet many suns compose the cosmic one. Wheels within wheels, spheres within spheres. Each pursues his course and attracts or rejects his brother, and yet cannot escape from the encircling arms of the mother. It's beautiful. It will therefore be apparent that the power of man to conceive of these whirling constellations, to measure their interaction, and to realize their essential unity is not as yet great enough. We are told that even to the liberated Dion Shohan, the mystery of that which lies beyond his own solar ring past knot is hid. The wheels, in order of their importance, might be enumerated as follows. The wheel of the universe, or the sum total of all the stars and starry systems. A cosmic wheel or a group of seven constellations. These are grouped according to their magnitude, their vibration, their color, their influence upon each other. And this is from A Treatise of Cosmic Fire, page 1085-86.
Right from the old commentary, isn't it very poetic, but very occultly poetic in that it sort of invokes the abstract. You can't just read it like a novel. You just can't read it like a regular book. It gives you a sense of awe, how big, how grand, and how poetic this whole thing is with all its multiple levels. And we might add, I've actually truncated this quote because we're not going through all the wheels. We just sort of talked about the cosmic wheel. But added to that magnitude, vibration, their color, we could also say their magnetism, their electricity, their sound, their quality of heat. And this idea of a gyroscope is pretty esoteric when you think about it, because how can you take something that's not moving and has a certain weight, like a gyroscope, and you can put it on the tip of your finger, and no matter what you do, gravity will topple it. And yet, if you spin that top fast enough, you can put it on the tip of your finger, and it can actually rotate, not just in a vertical way, it can actually go around in a circle and still defy gravity. We see that principle so often, we fail to understand that this is pretty interesting. Now, DK says that the first type of motion we study is rotary motion, something that goes round and round and round and round. But it doesn't really go anywhere because it travels in the same course, around and around and around. But when that entity or that life or that organism is stimulated from within by a higher life, what happens is it begins to rotate faster. And as it rotates faster and faster, it becomes like a generator, and it begins to generate its own internal heat. And when that internal heat, stimulated again from outside of itself, gets to a certain magnitude, it goes radiatory, it undergoes an initiation, becomes combustible, and it actually, just like you see in physics when you study subatomic particles, when they rotate around their central nucleus, when they have sufficient stimulation, they jump to a higher level of frequency or an outer band. And that is exactly how initiation takes place. And you see it through rotary motion, third aspect of deity at first, and then when it goes combustible, it turns into the spiral, cyclic motion, and it corkscrews to the next higher level. Or if you look at it from above down, the next higher level has now built a ladder, if I may use such an inadequate word, to pour down its loving, living force. All done through motion. Okay, any questions at this point? We must be coming to the end. How much time do we have, Bia?
20 minutes.
20 minutes. Okay, good. Well, are there any questions?
We have a couple of comments.
Yes.
Arrest says the power of sound.
Yes.
And I would add the power of words, because this is quite a powerful quote that you have here.
It is. And it's the closest to, well, it's closer to like Sanskrit, Senzar, and some of these earlier languages. And in other words, every tradition has its sacred vowels, its sacred mantric phrases. And what we're reading here, and why the Tibetan has suggested we study this, the old commentary and the stanzas of Dien, which comprise these last two quotes, is because they are closer. They are a closer bridge to the real truth. They are symbols. Words can be symbols, but there's different levels of symbols. And this, to me, comes very close to actually being able to visualize these things as they actually exist in our own bodies, around us, in the life, and in the world we live. Everything is in movement. It's all spinning. Any additional questions or comments?
Yes, we have a hand, and then Anne Veronica says, I am thinking of a fractal that moves.
Yes, and if you understand how a fractal sort of comes into existence, I wanted to say how it's made, but that would be a misnomer. It's how it comes into existence is that there's a main parent that has a certain spiral cyclic motion, and it, as it rotates and turns, it gives off multiple offsprings that are duplicates in miniature of the parent, and that as they mature and the parent matures, they in turn give off additional twirling fractal compositions. And this can go up infinitely in scale, or it can go down into subatomic matter. It's the same principle, and it's the same ability to understand that the greater is found in the lesser. Man, know thyself. And people don't understand that. Any additional comments?
Yes, I still have a hand, but before that, I wanted to finish Veronica's comment. It's, are we going to study Sensar? What do we know about this language?
That's a good question. I would love to say we're gonna train you in Sensar next week, but that, of course, would be the glamour of the week. I would say the most that we can do is to create a supportive environment, a loving matrix in which you, out of your own creativity, your own intention, can step into. And how much and what the timing will be, only you can decide. But it's there, and it lies before you and all the members of this group and all disciples as they work in the world at this time. Any additional questions?
Francis, can you talk?
Yes, if you can hear me. I just had a thought, Dwayne, as you were describing the wheel of the universe and the many mechanical aspects of that as relates to initiation. As we discussed earlier, the emphasis on group initiation, and I'm just thinking that as above, so below, that the groups that are being primed are relative to their magnitude, their vibration, their color, and their influence upon each other.
Yes.
What are your thoughts about that?
I'm not sure if I understood the question. Could you repeat it, please, Francis? I got distracted. I apologize.
Just the reflection of what you were describing and the mechanics as relates to initiation, and then further how it described here the wheel of the universe and all the starry systems, but as a lower reflection, the groups that are being primed for initiation.
Yes.
Are also reflective of that in their magnitude, their vibration, their color, and their influence upon each other.
Yes, excellent. We don't have to know all this technical information to have the experience of what the Tibetan is alluding to. But once again, the Tibetan is talking about the emergence of an Aquarian science of energy that's going to be just as basic as the hard sciences, only it's going to have the additional quality of being able to explain what lies behind these hard sciences and many of their discoveries that they don't know how to place or understand because they don't realize the whole universe is electrical in nature. And if any of you have an opportunity, go to the Thunderbolts Project, the Electric Universe, and you will see revelation after revelation about our solar system, the planets, and all these other constellations and outer systems, how they're all connected by these plasma streams like a big grid. Okay, excellent. So we're going to have a meditation now. And
okay, I have a couple of more comments if I can just read them really quickly.
You certainly can. Go right ahead.
Okay, Risa says, spinning, turns, vortices, the whirling dervishes reflecting this twirling.
Yes, absolutely. The Tibetan in Letters and Occult Meditation says that when the body is orientated towards certain movements in certain directions in a certain rhythmic way, and the dervishes, the Sufi whirling dervishes would certainly fall into that category, you can begin to tap into planetary energies. And under certain conditions, if your higher vehicles are aligned, you can tune into soul forces. And it's brought right down into the body. And we see this in a very advanced form when the WASAC configuration, the geometric, I think it's the five-pointed star is made, and how it's sort of organized by different groups of people, but they all know exactly what to do at what time, and it allows the Buddha to pour this saving force onto the planet through this rhythmic movement, this geometric rhythmic movement. Thank you, Risa. Good question.
And one more. And Veronica says, for me as a mathematician, it's only just an equation. If you change only one thing on the equation, the entirety of the fractal changes immediately.
Absolutely. And numbers don't simply veil things that are hidden. Numbers are things. And that's perhaps the least understood area of the Ageless Wisdom teachings that I have studied, but we will try to bring that in when we study geometry, the platonic solids and angles, and how, as HPB and the Tibetans say, that at the end of each lifetime, each person is represented by a certain geometric form that represents the perfection that they were able to achieve for that lifetime. Sometimes it's brilliant and full of light and scintillating color. Other times it's more dull and more solid. But we are building in our bodies in creative ways with energy that is going to be an area we're going to explore. Good question. Thank you.
And that's all I see for right now.
Okay, so now on this next animation, it's going to be a vortex. It's going to be a sphere with a number of vortexes in a number of spheres. Again, the wheels within wheels. So what we're seeing here is exactly what the Tibetan is attempting to allude to in a simplified fashion visually. So again, just allow this to really pull you into your higher mind or into your intuitive faculty and make it a meditation. So take a few deep breaths, center yourself. Thank you. the point within the circle. Very powerful. This can be seen as just a pretty picture, or with the right interior focus or intention, it can be a doorway leading somewhere, someplace new, creative. You can see the idea of striations in this magnificent morphing vortex and how there's the least resistance because of this striation, this crisscrossing. Looking from above down, this could be how the hierarchy sends down its saving cable of force. This can be a very powerful symbol of the Antakarana bridge that's built from both sides, us from below up and from the hierarchy and the level of the soul down. Excellent. I've seen this picture 100 times, and each time is just as awesome as the last. Are there any comments or sharing?
Asha says, really felt the shift in energy. Powerful. Loved it. Can we have the link for this, please? Thank you.
Yes. Amazing. We will have this, not only the link, we will have it so you can pull it right up directly. But she has to go to Makara when it's finally posted there. That might take a while.
Well, it usually just takes a couple of days. We need to process the video and get the slides. So we should have it posted within a couple of days. I think that's about our norm.
We'll try to give this particular animation as an individual file to UPL so that you can put it separately on Makara outside of the recording, and then people can see it in its full quality, because we know some of the quality didn't come through the broadcast.
Oh, that would be great.
Any additional comments?
Yes. Francis says, bravo. Way better than the 4th of July.
Thank you, Francis.
Risa says, it was like being at play in the field of the Lord.
Yes, that's a good one.
And Lisa says, eternal breath of cosmic substance.
Excellent. The in-breathing and out-breathing. Excellent, Risa.
And Veronica says, harmlessness and harmony together. Humanity, Earth, the solar system, the universe, one breath, one consciousness. Individuality never lost, but always found on a higher spiral.
Excellent. That's profound.
And Joe says, fantastic, fantastic. Thank you so much.
Okay, if there's no additional comments, we're...
Oh, they're coming in. Leslie says, to our friend, Veronica's comment about changing one thing changes the equation is akin to group unity and the importance of each unit, which changes the group equation.
Excellent. Beautifully described. Poetic and occultly right on.
And Arrest says harmonics.
Harmonics. Beautiful.
And that appears to be it.
Well, excellent. We've had less technical difficulties this session than previously. So even though we still have a long way to go, we're very thankful. And I guess we are making progress. So we sign off, we send our light and our love. And any comments or sharing on the Facebook site, feel free to visit poke around, and we'll look forward to sharing with you and being a part of this group experience in a little while. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.